Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day, everybody. We want to welcome you to this week's edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Ron Epley, and calling in is Dr. Goforth.
Your other co-host, Dr. Shane Goforth. Remember, this is a call-in show, so I want to encourage everybody to give us a call. That number is 347-989-8722. So give us a call. We'll try to get you out here.
You got it memorized now, don't you?
Oh, I do. I can do that from anywhere. Like driving up to the parking lot.
You're in your car pulling up to the driveway to get started, and you had it memorized. That's impressive. After 12 years, you finally memorized it.
Finally. I know. It only took me 12 years.
I know. And, you know, the funny part is, it's only because of cell phone technology that you can't remember this stuff because we're so used to our phones, our cell phones, right?
That's right.
So, anyway, it's good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
So, here's the first one, Dr. G. This is, this one's not paying attention. I had to print it out right away. 1 in 3 Americans taking medications with depressive side effects, according to a new study.
Right. Well, that makes sense. The other process is so fast.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, this is something that our profession, you and I, talk about this all the same time.
Right.
These people are on so many medications that are medications to treat the side effects of the medication.
Yep.
And they're totally unaware.
Right.
You know, I could have people sitting right interviewing for new patients.
Right.
So, oh, you know, I'm taking lisinopril. And I go, yeah, well, how did you know? Well, it's a side effect of lisinopril.
Uh-huh.
My doctor never told me. Did you read the
right.
label?
No. No. What label?
Yep.
I know. It gets to be crazy.
Right. It's 100% crazy.
So, anyway, so this one, I tried to go to the Business Publishing Journal of American Medical Association, so I tried to look up the study, and of course, you have to pay for those things, or into the whole study out there. But it's actually quite fascinating. So, the report released a week ago, so the suicide rates have risen 30% in the past 2 decades.
Right.
Which isn't surprising to me, because last week, I had a study showing that healthcare professionals are stopping with suicides right now. Mainly because of all the changes in the healthcare profession, right?
Right.
And some of these, I'll talk about that a little bit. Anyway, 15% of adults who simultaneously use 3 or more medications experience depression while taking the drugs, compared with just 5% who don't use drugs, or 7% who use one of the drugs.
Right.
So they said that, where's that number? 200 drugs.
200.
Now 200 have known side effects of depression.
Right.
And this is not one of those what we call real good studies. It was more of those observational studies.
Right.
But they're still, it's important to talk about them and going, I wonder if my depression, not me personally, might be caused because of these drugs that they're on. And some of the drugs are, but they're totally unaware of what they'd be, like proton pump inhibitors for antacids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So blood pressure lowering pills cause depression.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Sometimes you wouldn't expect it.
And then the other part is with depression is the suicide.
Right.
Because you know as well as I do that antidepressants cause suicide. So if you're taking a medication, like an antacid, you have depression, so you go to the doctor and they give you an antidepressant, and now all of a sudden you're increased risk of suicide and homicide.
Yeah.
And we classify these as, quote-unquote, just a side effect. These drugs are safe.
I used to have an instructor tell us, he always said that, there's no such thing as side effects, only effects.
I know, but that's the truth. That's the way we are. Oh, by the way, this is probably going to be the first episode for the new radio station that picked us up.
Nice.
It's KXCR 90.7 here in Florence, Oregon.
Oh, that's awesome right there.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's
funny. Almost like we have a syndicated radio show.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. They liked what we did and invited us to do the show. So
that's cool.
We'll be doing that with them. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually really looking forward to it because we have fun doing this.
Right.
We've talked about discontinuing for a long time because, you know, we do it for free. And it's a big time commitment on our part. But
Right.
Free to not, if we don't do it one day, it's like, dang, I wish I would have did a radio show.
All right. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty nice. So. And then I did it last week without you, and it just totally sucks.
Right.
Well, actually, the show quality goes way up. It's just not as
fun. Well, you almost did it without me again this week.
Yeah. I was a little concerned about that. I was actually telling the staff that if you didn't show up this morning, we just won't do it today.
Okay.
Because I really did not like doing it by myself.
Yeah. Well, I can't close, but I'll fill you in more.
So here's the other one that I just printed out just before you walked in the door. Because I thought it was interesting. It just flashed on my computer screen. It says, gaming disorder is officially a mental health disorder, according to the World Health Organization.
Really? Gaming disorder, huh?
No. They classify everything as a mental health.
Yeah.
So do they have a drug to treat it or now, or what?
I'm sure they do. You just say, okay, unplug. Or you go, oh, no, I need a drug. That'll help you unplug. Why do I need that?
Yeah, now, in all fairness to what they're saying, is they're saying only about 2% of gamers have the problem. And this is the criteria. Gaming takes precedence over other activities to the extent that other activities are taken into periphery. So what if you have a weekend binge on a game and you don't want to do anything else? You got yard to mow and everything else, but you got your friends together.
Yep.
Well, I used to.
That was all I did there for a long time. I used to sit and play video games.
I did too for a while. I did it with my kids. It was a wonderful thing that we did. It was a great bonding experience. We all had different computers and sit next to each other in the same room. And it wasn't like we never talked to each other. We were talking and having fun and helping each other out with whatever. Because it wasn't always a game on the computer. It was other stuff at the same time. But pretty much that happened. And but it didn't interfere with our life. We still did other things.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't interfere with your bike riding, right?
I can't say that. I do actually, but it doesn't really interfere that way much.
Yeah, I don't do it that much either. And so, anyway, here's the other criteria. Video games are continued to be played despite negative consequences, i.e., impaired control of these behaviors.
Right.
They got a kid that throws a fit after because his mom takes him off the machine. He's got a disorder.
I chew a fit, too. I still do. The wife comes in and says, you got to do it. No, I don't. Yes, you do. She turns it off. I got to throw a fit.
Yeah,
I don't like it. I want to play my game. I want to play my game.
Exactly.
So.
Compulsive gaming leads to significant strain on personal, family, social, educational, and occupational functioning, affecting relationships and health.
Yep.
Okay, so if we just put a cell phone on here instead of gaming,
everybody's got a disorder.
Everybody's got a disorder. Yeah. Because it disrupts office work all the time.
All the time. That's my office all the time.
Yeah. Did we talk about I don't know if it's in my piles, the report that said that 10% of all doctors' conversations are now being recorded by their patients?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so guess what we did this week?
Yeah.
My other office are not put up yet. Well, we put a sign up in a basket. All cell phones must be deposited here.
Well, that's fine until somebody speaks with you anyway.
Yeah, they probably will, but again, if they do that, then in Oregon, state of Oregon, you have to have two people's permission to do it.
Right.
So they're actually violating the law, which doesn't mean they're not going to do it.
Right.
But at least you have consequences later to come back at them.
Yeah, that's good.
So, you know, you're not going to be able to protect yourself completely from anybody that wants to do it. But 10% of doctors' conversations are now being recorded.
Yeah.
So, isn't that crazy?
That's really crazy.
I know what it made me feel like when they said that. What did it make you? What's your reaction to that?
I don't know. I'm total different sides of it. One, it's just like, really, you know. So are they being? Are they recording the conversation without the doctors knowing it? There's one. And if they are, well, then that's a little underhanded and sneaky. What are you up to? And the second is, if you are doing it with the doctor's permission, well, I can kind of see that maybe you want to, because a lot of times we say stuff to our patients, and our patients go, oh, well, what the hell did they say? What does that mean? And then we'll be able to look stuff up and figure things out. I kind of get that, you know, and that would be okay. So, I mean, I have a lot of different views on it, so that's kind of where I'm at.
It just hit me as I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
Just because of potential problems. I mean, already medical personnel have to, we have HIPAA laws that we have to comply with. And if a patient records your conversation and that conversation gets out there, how do we protect ourselves from HIPAA? Did we do anything to protect ourselves from that?
Right.
I mean, it is probably coming upon them, but it's just one other thing. You know as well as I do that if we get a lawsuit against you, it doesn't matter if you're totally innocent. The stress and strain it causes and the financial hardship it creates just to win the case could be tremendous.
A lot of times you want to get all the way up to your outpatient insurance companies. They're like, well, let's just pay this off. Let's just give this money to make this away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then a lot of times the doctors are like, okay, well, I don't want to deal with this at all. So, okay, let's do that. Sometimes like yourself would be like, no, I did nothing wrong. And we're going to go to town on this individual. It might cost you everything, but if you're just on the principle, that's what you would do.
One of the other reasons that hit me is in the world that we live in right now with the Me Too movement and everything
of
sexual harassment that occurred 30 years ago was totally acceptable by everybody then.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not acceptable, but the behaviors that went on that everybody knew about and everybody participated in. And now it's all of a sudden it's a bad thing, which I think is a good thing. It's a bad thing.
Right.
Now people are being held to standards today what was over 30 years ago.
Right.
So what if we said something that's politically okay today to our patient, but in 10 years from now, all of a sudden that's not okay, and they have that recording and go, see what my doctor told me 10 years ago?
Right.
Are you kidding me? I don't remember who you are.
You know, a good example of that was when MDs used to tell their patients to smoke. That'd be a good example. You know, say 30 years ago, or maybe 40 years ago, doctors would tell their patients, maybe you should, you know, start smoking. It'll help you relax. And then today, 40 years later, a patient has lung cancer. Well, this doctor said this, and well, isn't it his fault? Well,
yeah, or something like hops is a muscle relaxant.
Right.
I explain that to people all the time because we're in the natural medicine realm. Right. Calcium, magnesium, passiflora, hops. If you like a nice muscle relaxant. And they go out there and they become an alcoholic drinking beer with high hoppy beer.
Right.
And 10 years later, they want to sue me because I recommended it. And they recorded just this much of my conversation, a piece of it. And I don't remember saying anything to them at all. How do you defend yourself of what you really say or not say?
Right. Exactly.
So,
right.
To me, there's just so much potential problem with it. It's like, well, here's the deal. You're a little bit younger than me by only a week.
Yeah, about a week. maybe 2 weeks.
But anyway, we used to put patients in gowns.
Right.
It was standard procedure. Put a gown on when you walk in the ring.
Right.
You know, we never put another chiropractor in a gown or a family member. That was just because it's a medical thing that you do, right? They got in a gown. And then things got a little bit more dicey with lawsuits against people doing stuff that's inappropriate. And so I never put a patient in a gown anymore. I shouldn't say never. Maybe one in 1,000 people do it because you need to do ultrasound on a shoulder or something like that, right? But it's rare.
Right.
So
it's
rare.
Very, very true. It's really just depends on what you're doing, what the procedure is.
And you know, we used to have privacy. It was...
Yeah.
All the doors are closed 100% of the time. Every conversation you had with a patient was private.
Yeah.
We now have chiropractors that have open adjustment theaters, not just a room, but a theater of open everything.
Yeah.
We have physical therapy rooms that are open.
Yeah.
And part of that isn't because it's convenient for anybody. It's because of the potential losses.
Yeah.
You go in a room with someone and close the door anymore, and oh, my God.
Yeah.
So the doctors are doing it to protect themselves and patients, therapists too. And so we live in an ever-changing world. So that's why I'm really uncomfortable about the potential being recorded. Even though right now we're recording ourselves.
Right?
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a different thing. You know, I mean, it's kind of like we're... I mean, it's just funny, right? It's interesting.
It's a world that's I had no clue ever existed.
Right.
Of this whole sexual harassment world, of this whole politically correct world, this whole...
Right.
I just want to be a doctor. I just want to help people.
Okay.
That's it. I don't want to have to worry about if I say something...
You know what they say, no good deed
goes unpunished.
That's right. And it doesn't matter what
I guess I deserve a lot of punishment then.
Yeah,
I've done a lot of good deeds.
Me too. You're going to get smacked down pretty hard pretty soon.
It is funny because now that I'm older too, right? You get older patients coming in, you know. Yeah. Like, you know, only the good die young. So what are you still doing here?
Yep. <That's right. laughs> Exactly right.
So here's a bombshell, and I found this one incredibly fascinating. Consensus theory of evolution of the species falls apart. New mitochondrial DNA study reveals that no animal species is more than 200,000 years old.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So we just deposited the 200,000 years ago? Is that what happened? Or?
Well, maybe.
It's an interesting thought, right?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, they're all theories. Even creation is a thing, right? None of us have any proof of anything that ever happened, so they're theory. Now, creation theory happens to have the most believers.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know what the percentage of the world's population believes in creation, but there's a large number of them. And then evolution was a theory.
Right.
And, you know, when you read stuff about it, it gets to be quite fascinating, right? If you go down the middle of the road, despite whatever my belief system is or not, if you look at the data, if you can doubt either side fairly easily. And one of the things that used to get me is all of the evidence of evolution, as far as they're looking at bones, would fit on a pool table.
Right.
Like, oh, that's a lot of evidence, huh?
Right. You would think,
yeah. So, anyway, it's basically a theory, and you know, there's lots of little cool things that fit within the theory, but you know, not everything does.
Right.
Like, what created the first? When did life first get started? How did that happen? We can't recreate it. Tried hundreds of thousands of times to try experiments to create it. It can't happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then you think of, and then also there have been people out there that say, you know, if we look at the speed of evolutionary change, there's not been enough time in the universe to go from a single, not cell, but a single DNA molecule, like adenine, into what we are now today.
Right.
That the process just takes too long. And now we're finding with this, and now I don't know how much credibility there is with this study, right?
Right.
It's the first one that we're seeing out there, but they're studying mitochondrial DNA and all species that they've studied, which is a lot of them, and they said they can't find that anything that lived more than 100,000 or 200,000 years ago.
That's kind of interesting.
Yep, it is. So, something new to think about.
Right.
With all the other stuff. Oh, yeah, and here's the funny part, Dr. Goforth. When I was looking at this, I kept coming across other newer studies that's out of nowhere, disproving or changing stuff that we learned in college, like basic chemistry stuff that we thought existed, like sodium chloride can only bind together as sodium chloride because of the way it is. And now all of a sudden you got Na2Cl, which that might be the wrong one, but that's what's happening. They're able to create those, which were considered impossible before. I didn't print that study out, but I was reading it because this one hit me, and then several similar ones that just brand new came up and go, oh, my God, a lot of what we know is being thrown out well, shouldn't be thrown out the door, but being challenged.
Right, right.
And, you know, I think it's being challenged in a good way.
Yep, exactly right. Well, that's what science is supposed to do. That's decent science.
Yeah, we're supposed to question everything, right?
Yeah. Let's figure it out. Let's see what happens here. Did that work again? Let's do it again.
You know, my roommates constantly tell me, you know, if you limit your beliefs, you start having a belief one way or another, you limit the possibilities.
Right.
And it just sounds like a hokey line, but it's the true in this case, right? If you limit your belief system, these other things, do you even bother to look into them or even bother to explore them?
So, you know, I had a conversation in 10 minutes with my grandpa Winky. We were talking about, space travel and stuff like that. Just weird things. And I said, well, you know, the speed of light is the fastest that anything can go, according to theory of relativity. And my grandpa said, yeah, according to that theory. He's like, well, you're right. You know, so then somebody else comes up with something different. That is the fastest we can go. Until somebody figures out, no, if we do this, we can go faster.
Yeah, well, there's something about the security of answering, able to answer these questions that bother everybody at one time or another.
Yeah.
Who am I?
Right.
Where did I come from? If you have some kind of construct to satisfy your curiosity a little bit, there's a lot of sense that security and calming feeling about being able to do that. You know, religious people, we've talked about this before. I thought the latest one I saw said that people that believe in religion live 7 years longer. They die, the death from all causes goes down quite a little bit, just because they accept the theory of creation. And it doesn't mean that that has to be true. That can be modified. I mean, our religious beliefs continue to be modified, right? Look at the way the Vatican is changing things now in the Catholic Church. So, but having a theoretical construct is pretty nice. It's when you become dogmatic in the belief system than that and not allowing some flexibility within it that it becomes a problem.
Right.
So, yeah, if you could live 7 years longer because you decide to, what is it on Game of Thrones, bend the knee? So I think I'll bend the knee for 7 years.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah, it depends on what that 7 years gets me, though.
Yeah, you know. Well, speaking of that, where is
the over quantity?
I had that one in here. That here's what I might get you.
All right.
Demons really are possessing people, warns psychiatrist, as pure evil sweeps over humanity. This is shocking. This particular psychologist doesn't shock me. But it is shocking me that I continue to see, like on Drudge Report and other things, the amount of, what do they call demon dispossession things? Exorcism?
Exorcism, yeah.
They're way up.
Yeah.
And if you want to be dogmatic in a belief system, it's like, these people are all crazy. What the heck are they talking about?
Right.
But what's up with, why do so many people need that sort of help? And then now we got a psychiatrist. And more. This guy, Dr. Richard Gallagher, he has degrees from Princeton and Yale, so he's no slouch,
right,
according to him. Now, he could be old and have Alzheimer's, but but his pedigree says that maybe we should listen to what he says. And he's got 25 years under his belt with teaching positions at New York Medical College and Columbia University. Anyway.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, he said that they're up, and we need to pay attention to that stuff. Right here, it says right here, Roman Catholic Church seeing a huge uptick in cases of demonic possession. It's those darn games.
Must be.
It's not a mental health disorder, you're possessed.
Right.
Interesting,
Yep.
Here's another, you know, I always say this all the time, interesting, fascinating, because all these things is totally fascinating. You know, all these studies, I wouldn't talk about them if I wasn't interested in them. Pesticides are making America stupid. Agricultural chemicals are found to lower the IQ of children.
Any sense?
Well, you know, we see it all the time, right?
Right.
We just, it's hard to sometimes look at that and think that we're being objective because, you know, as you get older, you know, the kids and their damn rock and roll music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, you do get jaded a little bit just because of your age and experience.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you want to discount these things as saying that, well, you know, but they're kids. But if they do measurements, they're finding that truly they are. And we've read studies before that says that, what is it, the frontal cortex or the outer cortex of the brain is 11% smaller than it used to be. So, you know, and if we look at pesticides contributing to that, the other thing that contributes is the lack of exercise,
mm-hmm.
poor diet, and you add all that up, and these poor kids are Neanderthal.
Right. Right.
Without the big forehead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe it's going to get bigger because they'll have to go, don't! All the time, you know?
Art cars. Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so going deeper into fish oil, looking at the other fatty acids. And I really liked this article because it's why I don't like people calling EPA DHA all the time.
Right.
Or an omega-3.
Omega-3, yeah.
I don't like it.
Right.
Because I like the fish oil.
Right.
Because it is a combination of EPA, DHA, and other fatty acids and triglycerides,
right?
It's just that those are the main two ingredients.
Right.
So here they're talking about most people know at least two fatty acids, omega-3 and omega-6, but there are other forms, while not as prominent, greatly benefit our health. One such case is omega-7.
Okay.
A non-essential fatty acid found in certain fish and some plants, which is now gaining attention thanks to efforts to understand and develop the science behind the ingredient. I'm not going to go into the what it's healthy for, but it's in the fish oil, especially
right.
the fish oils that we recommend. And rather than fractionating, I want like people like to do is a sales gimmick. They like to fractionate EPA. Let's find a synthetic version of EPA, put it in a pill, and you need quote unquote 750 milligrams of EPA.
Right.
And then you need 500 milligrams of DHA. And then you need 25 milligrams of this omega-7 or whatever they're talking about.
Right.
And before you know it, you're taking pill after pill after pill. Take the freaking fish oil.
Right.
Forget the synthetic crap that they try to come up with.
Let's
forget about
fish.
The stuff that they try to process and change it. Take the real squeezed fish oil.
Yep.
That there are going to be other benefits to it that we're going to discover because it really is a food. You know, and by the way, eat more fish. Yeah. You know, that's what we should see on TV. You know, the Chick-fil-A commercial about the cows holding up the sign eating chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Eat more fish. This is a cow. This is a cow and a chicken standing next to each other, giving each other a high five to eat more fish.
That's commercial. Eat more fish.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
The rooster on top of the cow's head holding that big sign.
Eat more fish.
Go vegetarian. Eat more fish.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hysterical. That's funny.
So here's an article. It says, take fish oil or blueberry powder for better brain health. Now, I didn't realize there's a blueberry powder out there because
I ate
so much blueberry. Anyway, right?
Just eat the blueberry.
And one of my newer roommates loves blueberries, too, so we're going to get, probably next week, because they're just now beginning to harvest in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
probably going to get 100 pounds of this stuff.
Not
just out of our garden, but you need to go buy some from the local farm, because the blueberries, it's kind of cool having people around me now that love it.
Right.
just like I do, the blueberries. I can't get enough of them. You know, it's really cool going to Costco or something because the prices have gone down on stuff over the years as they learn how to process things better. And also this year, my son, the food scientist, came over this weekend for Father's Day, and he was telling me that the sheer number of blueberry farms in Oregon have skyrocketed.
Right.
And so he goes, that's also part of the reason the price has gone down a little bit because there's a lot more blueberry farms than there used to be.
Right.
And, yeah.
And I think people are becoming more aware of the benefits of blueberries because I have a patient who has at least a little tiny farm. In Oregon, off from the office, and she, last year she opened it up, and within like a week she was closed down because there's a UPIC and whatever. All the blueberries were gone. So it was her shortest season ever, and it, because everybody came and picked them up, picked them clean. That's pretty awesome.
I know it is. It is, and you know. Yeah, I'm a big fan of blueberries. It's actually my favorite fruit. The next one on the list has got to be raspberries, blueberries and raspberries.
Right.
You know, they're both superfoods, and I think people should consume them in large quantities. And, you know, they're low in sugar, too, compared to some, a lot of the other
right.
foods that we,
right.
we've changed over the years and altered and raised to high sugar content.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yep. So fish oil or blueberry powder. How about both?
Right. Fish and blueberry powder into fish meat.
Yeah, that, you know, no kidding. I already put turmeric and black pepper in the
fish
I don't know if I've talked to you much about that. Is that, you know, we talked about it on the radio show. We read about it. And, you know, over the years, we've bought, sold supplements with turmeric in them for inflammation. And finally, we found a good source of turmeric.
Right.
Very inexpensive. And just started putting it in the fish oil with the black pepper and recommending it to not all my patients, but a few of them, and the results are less than stunning. I mean, massive pain going away because they're just getting there. Because as you know as well as I do, if we measure the fish oil, their omega-6 and our omega-3 index is out of whack, and so a lot of them are greatly inflamed. And so we're trying to give them this fish oil to get those normal, to control their excessive inflammation, but why not just help take care of the inflammation they got going on while it's starting to get back in the balance? So the fish oil is there, and then the turmeric is powerful. Plus, you know, we've talked about how incredibly good it is for things like cancer and everything.
Right.
So I just started putting it in. I got it in the offices now, and my office staff mixes it up for all of us to take on a daily basis.
That's cool. That's good news for new office staff.
Yeah, I know.
And my staff says, I ain't doing that. You can't make me.
Yeah, all right. Well, lucky for me, my office staff loves me. And they would do anything for me, especially if I provide them with this stuff, too, and we toast with it, right? So it's like, they don't have to buy it.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, well, that's... I let you sleep next door. So.
Yeah, I know.
So there.
It is. See, she thinks we're funny. That's why we do better together. Constantly shakes her head. It's like, I can't believe you guys are talking about that stuff.
Right. That's the fun thing about our radio show. We just kind of go wherever.
Yeah. So constantly checking your cell phone actually makes you more stressed to the point that you get anxious when you're not connected.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
No, I actually do see it with people. No, I forgot my cell phone today. What's that? And just a little tiny bit, but it's like, it's okay, cause I don't really need it that much.
Right.
I just use it for the calling of the radio show, but I just use our office phone.
Right.
And now we won't get any phone calls.
That's right.
But that's okay.
It's pretty quiet.
And no kidding. Except for the office staff, it's awfully noisy over there.
I know. Oh, that's what they do. Doing all that. Commenting on our show. They're actually getting on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, women are like that, right? They have a look.
Uh-huh.
They just look at you and you know, okay, I messed up. Guys aren't like that. But girls is like instantly, oh boy, I definitely said something wrong there.
Well, I'm pretty sure they make you guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won't tell you what it was.
What do they do?
You know.
No, I don't know. You gotta tell me. No, you know what you did.
And if you don't know, if you don't know what you did, then you don't love me.
Yep. Oh yeah,
that's right too.
So vitamin D is not only good for your bones, it can ease psoriasis.
There you go.
You know, okay, so here's what, okay, so I forget, you'll have to tell me, is psoriasis worsened with exposure to the sun or lessened? It seemed to me like ultraviolet radiation can be used to treat psoriasis, like if you have a little UV.
It
seems like it does, but the only reason I'm doubting it a little bit is because it seems like I've had a couple of patients, no, maybe eczema is worsened with the sun and psoriasis itself. But anyway, so Oregon grape, because we live in Oregon, is also a nice treatment for psoriasis. It works really, really well. In fact, most people don't even know what Oregon grape is. That's what's crazy.
Right.
I mean, it's nuts. Okay, so my son, the food scientist.
There you go.
I know. Well, I have to give him a little bit of credibility, a little bit of credit.
Food scientist. Not the foodie. Yeah.
Well, he's a foodie, too. But he was telling me about all of the ingredients that they use at work that people have no clue that are out there. Even the company he works for, they're going, what? That's the food? You can
uh-huh.
And so he was telling me that he lives down near the Salem Woodburn area, and he likes to go out and scout all the natural fruit trees and edible stuff.
Right.
So he can just pick them because they're just, he's like an urban grazer, right?
Uh-huh.
He can pick all that stuff. It's just cracks my youngest boy up. He just teases my son incessantly. He's like,
right.
Is that a raspberry over there you can eat? In the middle of the parking lot, uh-huh. You know, or some sort of ground berry that's edible, right?
Right.
He knows what they are.
Uh-huh.
And so he was telling me, you know, that it's so funny, the Salem Woodburn area, there's not any fruit trees around.
Right.
Because when he was going to lived in Eugene, look at that, he had them all scoped out all over town.
Right.
All of a sudden he'd show up at my house one day with a gunny sack full of plums that he picked at a cemetery or something, right?
Right.
But, because Eugene used to be built around all these orchards and fruit trees. And
everything.
Right. And so a lot of them still exist. Everybody hasn't taken them all out yet. They'll
be
growing on the streets and places. But
it's
funny, because getting closer to Portland, none of that exists.
Right.
It's kind of disappointing because he likes to scout them out and pick his fruit while he's going for a run or riding
uh-huh.
a bike or something.
Uh-huh. Yep, I will do that occasionally. I'm not that good at it. I mean, I can identify a plum tree and a pear tree and a fruit and an apple tree maybe, but you know, a couple of berries, but not many. You know, but that's about it. So yeah, he's all new on the other stuff too. He's on kind of like a huckleberry tree or something like that too, over by the community college there.
Yeah, he found all kinds of stuff over there. I haven't thought it was funny to me. So I don't know what it was. It was some sort of type of raspberry. Like a little bush,
right?
The ground cover. We were like at what, Fifth Street Market or something like that. We're walking by, and go, oh, there, look! What? Oh, those are raspberry. Those are edible. Really?
He's a funny kid.
Like 6 mile immediately.
That's a kid. I know. 6 months. What? 30 plus.
Yeah, 30 plus now.
Mm-hmm. And I met him as a kid, so he'll always be a kid.
I know. So many mental illnesses, which going back to what we're talking about earlier, are inflammation based. More and more science backs up a link between gut health and mental health.
I get that one. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's actually quite fascinating when you think about how the intestinal bacteria, an overgrowth of bad bacteria, could actually almost control your mind. They get in there and control you. And, you know, if you kind of think about it, if there's more cells in your gut than there are more bacteria in your gut than there are cells in your body. So if they had sort of, this is science fiction stuff, a link between them where they can gain some sort of intelligence, of course they'd want to control us so that we feed them better.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right? And part of it is they're not intelligent, but they're just intelligent enough to make you miserable. And you're supposed to be smart enough to know that you're not supposed to eat that stuff.
Right.
So, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
But we don't get it anymore.
Right.
We don't get it if you don't feel right. Maybe it's something I ate.
No, okay. I just need to go get an antibiotic or a painkiller or something.
Oh, yeah, or it's
some other medicine. Or it's got to be genetic.
My dad had it, so.
Of course I had it, too.
My aunt had it. My mom had it. Dad had it.
Yeah, well, my
so I know
diabetic.
I'm going to get it.
My grandma was diabetic, so of course I'm going to be diabetic, too. Oh. You know, many times I want to just smack people. I like to smack the stupid out of people sometimes, but you just can't.
I know.
But,
I know.
You know what? And I don't even blame the patients that come in saying that stuff to me. Because this is what they're told by their doctors or whatever. You know, they're those people I like to just smack the stupid out of.
Yeah, like the doctor will tell them, like, well, you got some arthritis.
Uh-huh. You're getting old, though.
You're getting old. What do you expect?
Right.
You're going to have this pain and stiffness because you're getting old.
Right.
Yeah, right. I'm 59 years old,
uh-huh.
almost, in a couple of days.
Right.
And I'm in better shape than almost every 59-year-old patient that comes in and sees me.
Right.
It's rare that
you're in better shape than most 39-year-old patients that come to see you.
Yeah, I know. And even some 20-year-olds.
And even some 20-year-olds, yeah.
It's like, oh, my God. And, you know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
Right.
If you look at my family history, they killed over with cancer right and left.
Right.
And, you know, it's, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, you know, it really is simple to try to be healthier. It's not the number one best thing you can do for your health. Is not smoke.
Right.
Number one, hands down, there's nothing better than just not smoking.
Right.
If you do that, it gets a little tougher to tear your health apart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then if you just go for a walk every day,
right.
That's another huge factor in doing it. And all those two things make up for a lot of the poor eating that we
right.
do. But, you know, it's how hard is it to walk 15 minutes? I know, it is difficult because I don't do it.
Right. You just think of where you are and what do you do your schedule.
Right, and it goes back to some of the stuff that we learn from other people. When we were a lot younger, but you just let it go over your head.
Right.
The people you hang around with, you could look at them, the five people you hang around with, mostly, you could look at them and that's the type of person you're going to be as
right.
you get older.
Right.
So if you choose your friends wisely and you choose people that do these healthy activities with you, because there's always a choice of who you want to hang out with,
right.
then you're going to influence them and they're going to influence you, and it's going to be for the better. So if they go for a walk every day, or you go in every day after work and you play squash or whatever, right, with your friends, then they're going to help support you in that choice. And, of course, you help them, too, because they need someone to play squash with. Right.
Right.
Or ride a bike with.
Or ride a bike with. It's a lot more fun to ride a bike with a friend than it
is. It certainly is, right?
Yeah.
Especially if they fall off their bike right in front of you.
That's not funny, though, because I've done that.
I know.
I've done the guy who falls down.
That's why they're like, right?
I know, that's why they love
it. They're like laughing at you.
Those are things you're going to do today. First, you got to get up. First thing you got to say is my bike okay? It can't be anything else. I mean, you can be like not even able to get up. Is my bike okay? So what you have to do.
So you just got to choose something better. And early on, like, if you choose to go drink coffee, smoke a cigarette, and whine about your health problems, you think you're going to be healthy?
Nope.
I think it's damn near impossible
yep.
to get healthier if you do that.
Right.
But if you have another attitude because you have other people that, you know, I got to go for my bike ride. Doesn't matter if my knee hurts.
Yeah.
Got to do what I got to do.
Right.
And guess what? Quit hurting.
Yep. The knee quits hurting. It's nice. Been there.
I know. I have too.
I go for bike ride. I have an ankle that's chronically sore these days. My lower back. I have arthritic condition in my back, and but I still go for my ride. And I get allergies, right? Even though I see no allergies, I deal with right now. I still go for a bicycle ride. My allergies are actually a little bit better. Because of the exposure that I get, of course, because I'm out there sniffling and sneezing and wiping my snot everywhere. It's kind of gross, but I actually do better, so I have to go. It's just that great movie. It's awesome stuff.
Yep, I know. It's just keep moving. Use it or lose it, right?
Right.
So University of whatever, Gulpef or whatever, I don't know where this is. Lentils significantly reduce blood glucose levels. So.
Lentils are legumes. So that's supposed to be legumes.
Yeah, I know. But so when I'm looking for weight loss, that's one of my favorite things to people is lentils because of the protein and also there's only a couple things that really affect blood sugar and stimulate muscle gain. It's spinach, lentils. Cinnamon for the blood sugar. What else is there? There's one more I'm forgetting. Spinach, lentils. That might be just three things. It's got good scientific proof behind them. So the one I recommend all the time. And, you know, I don't eat lentils. I never liked them. But when I want to try to take some weight off and better, the lentils really do a wonderful job of helping that. And so I will use them. So I use them like a drug,
right?
Because I just use them for a goal, specific goal. And I don't eat them all the time. And also, they don't bother me like other foods will bother you.
Well, cinnamon is so good for us. I mean, it's too bad that they just, you know, every time I take cinnamon, I don't ever get the same benefit because I always wrap my cinnamon around some grains and other sugars.
Yeah, you put it around that roll,
that sweet sticky roll, and you know, it's got a frosting on it. I always do the cinnamon for those, you know, because I get a lot of cinnamon there.
Yeah, I think the cinnamon and the cinnabon doesn't help with blood sugar much.
Probably not. Yeah. I was going to say, a lot of cinnamon works, I don't get that. You just said if it takes sugar, it helps.
That's why I put cinnamon in my coffee every time I drink coffee.
Yeah,
so here we were talking about this earlier, so my numbers are wrong, so I have to be corrected.
Uh-oh.
It says, one thing you'll find in the orbits of many long-living people, religious affiliation linked to a 4-year longevity boost. I said 7.
Yeah.
I was basing mine on a lot of stuff I read before. I forgot I even had this in this pile. So anyway, bend the knee and you get 4 years.
There you go.
It didn't say you have to be devout and all that stuff.
Right.
It just said affiliation.
Right.
Mediterranean-style eating with lean, unprocessed red meat improves heart health risk. We say it's paleo. Right. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Right.
And this is published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. 1/3 of U.S. adults may unknowingly use medication that can cause depression. That's why we talked about that earlier. This happens to be another course of the same one. Dementia risk increased in 50-year-olds with blood pressure below hypertension threshold. No, we've talked about this before, right?
I think so.
So new findings from the long-running Whitehall 2 study, over 10,000 civil servants had found 50-year-olds who had blood pressure that was higher than normal, but still below the threshold commonly used when deciding to treat the condition, were at increased risk of developing dementia later in life. This increased risk was seen even when the study participants did not have other heart or blood vessel-related problems, according to the research. So what they're kind of trying to say is that if your blood pressure is a little high, but it's not considered enough to put you on blood pressure medication, you still might want to go on blood pressure medication because it could protect you against dementia. So, you know, what I would like to see.
Sugar.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You know what I'd like to see? Is I'd really like to see them finally getting a list of things with real numbers not these studies that are not the greatest studies in the world. Real numbers are, what is the real risk of your blood pressure being 130 over 85?
Right.
For dementia versus the risk of taking blood pressure medication from that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And do they cancel each other out at all? And then what benefit is there from fish oil supplementation?
Right.
Instead of the blood
right.
pressure medication.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean, right? I mean, they're adding all that together so people can go, listen, here's a list of things I choose to do for that. Some will go, give me the drug.
Right.
And others will go, I'm going to choose to do this, and this.
Right.
That's what I want to know. Is I want to know what really works and what doesn't. And the science doesn't lend itself very well to that.
Right.
What's the next one we got here? Oh, nighttime urination is produced by cutting salt in your diet.
Okay.
This one's hilarious. This one's a little political.
Okay.
Okay. Trump, that's President Trump.
That's right.
To support ending federal prohibition on marijuana.
I saw something about that.
Okay, so listen to this. When I saw this, I started laughing, right? Because
you know what's going to happen?
What's that?
All these anti-Trumpers are going to be pissed off these legalized marijuana.
I know, that's what I was thought about.
Those hot smokers, they're going to be mad and down to go and get it legally. And the prices are going to go down. More people are going to be pot farming.
All those people, I can tell you, the Democrat side of things, and the people that I knew when I was a lot younger, always wanted marijuana to be legalized.
Right.
They're all most of them, if not all of them, are all Democrat, liberal persuaded to some extent. And that's the one thing that they wanted, because they don't want anything else. They just want to smoke their pot, right?
Right.
Legal. So if, let's say President Trump did legalize. Do you think they would be consider him the greatest president that ever lived because he gave them what they've been begging for 30 years?
They're so invested in being such a...
They would still hate him even if he did what they wanted.
They would hate him more.
Well, why has he got to do it now?
Well, it's about time he jumped on the bandwagon or something like that. You know what I mean? That's why I started laughing, because I just...
You know,
I
like that with you. It is political, and I totally am there with you. I mean, of course, you know what I feel about marijuana. I think, medicinally, I think it's got some great uses, but recreationally, I just think it's really good, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. But I'd also like to see, now that it's becoming more and more legal, I'd like to see more and more studies being done finally on what it's good for and not good for.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Let's go ahead and do some stuff.
And I think if the other side of this, too, is that, I mean, you look at the tax, but of course, you know, we got legalized marijuana here in Oregon now. Where are all the tax dollars?
Yeah, I know.
What are we doing with that? Well, I'm sure it's just lining a lot of politicians' pockets. I'm sure there's getting, you know, some pocket stuffers. But honestly, I think that if Trump does this, I think it'll be a better thing for the economic development of the country, of our, you know, economy. So I don't think they'll make other taxes go down, of course, but...
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that if he does it. It's inevitable.
Yeah,
it's
I agree.
Happen, so you might as well just start. It's like prohibition.
Right, right.
You know, it's just inevitable. Let's just give into it and quit throwing people
in
jail.
Well, so here's the other side, right? I would rather see people doing marijuana than this opioid epidemic we got going on. Because, hands down, marijuana, whether it be CBC or THC or both, together, it doesn't really matter, far better than opioids for pain control.
So let me say something that's going to kill, that people are going to kill me for.
Okay, say it.
The only reason Trump wants to legalize marijuana so he can empty the prisons of all these drug-convicted criminals and make them for illegals.
That's right.
Yeah, that'll get him. That's why he's doing it.
That's hysterical.
that dirty bastard.
I just wanted to be the first to address that conspiracy theory.
Oh, that's funny. That me up. Oh, shoot.
I know. Well, you know someone's going to fat. Well, someone did. I did.
That's right. So, anyway, so that was, well, the other thing I was going to say about the marijuana compared to the opioids, right, is that my sister had done marijuana for her pain for cancer. And she told us that just the CBC oils did help. But when she did marijuana with THC, then she would get both. So the CBC would help the pain. The THA would make her not care about the pain.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does, like, okay, well, let's just, you know, let's do that instead of all this freaking opioids.
Well, you know, and I agree 100% because I had a really good friend die of cancer. So I watched her meeting her regular, you know, her husband. Regularly give her opioids, right? And he wasn't going to allow her to be addicted and everything like that. She was in a lot of pain waiting for her next dose. But once she got it, she was kind of out of it once she got the dose, right? And she wasn't obviously not there mentally.
Right.
And I would really rather see people that are dying of cancer to be able to do this where they're still, I mean, it doesn't affect your brain that much where they're out of it.
Right.
So they get some pain relief and, are still functional.
Yep.
We can still hold a conversation with them and talk to them.
I agree.
The opioid person that I had, she would get to the point when you could talk to her. And then the pain would start to get too much, and it was difficult to talk to her because she's in a lot of pain. And she'd get her opioid, and instantly she would be kind of out of it for a while. And that started to wear off enough where there was a happy medium where you can. I definitely think. See all that change.
Yep. Me too.
Surprising new research concludes that baking soda can prevent autoimmune disease on a cellular level. This is published in the Journal of Immunology.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, baking soda. I didn't read too much of that. I just thought of
that.
Oh, here's one that you and I both—we've mentioned this before, but now there's a study. This is how brilliant we are.
We are brilliant.
Science: protective headgear for girls lacrosse players increases concussion risk.
Right.
Because players become more aggressive.
Right.
It's exactly what we talked about with football.
Exactly right.
Is that we thought that once people had all this protective equipment on them, they were able to use weaponize themselves a lot more.
Yeah.
And they felt like they were protected.
Right.
But yet they knew they could do more damage to the person on the other side.
Uh-huh.
And so if you could do more damage to them, they could do more damage to you, but you just ignore that.
You got all these other...
So we've talked about once that we could decrease concussions in the NFL football player by taking away their helmet.
Right. Going back to that leather helmet, just to keep them from breaking the skin open.
Yeah.
So they're not bleeding all over the place.
Yep, exactly right.
Yeah, we keep them from running and putting their head down and putting the barrel through people with their head down.
Right. Yep.
So they did. So they actually did do that study. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool. That's a good study.
So if you're having a hard time sleeping, you may have a magnesium deficiency.
Okay. There's other reasons.
that's true. Oh, here we go. This might be the last one we get a chance to talk about.
All right.
This study. Teens should run a mile every day to prevent depression.
Oh.
Now, here's the deal. If we gave the choice, any depressant drug or run a mile, they would all take the drug.
Yeah, except for the runners.
Except for the runners. So they should run a mile a day.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I was talking to one of my patients who's a principal.
Right.
And they implemented a little while ago, a few years ago, and they've got like 5 years or so of data or more data backing it up. They instituted that the kids have to run half a mile a day.
Right.
These are younger than teenagers.
Right.
And he goes, that significantly improved scores on standardized tests.
Yeah.
Where the school fits within a 97th percentile when they start young enough. Yep. They drop a little bit when they move from outside area to the program. But it's really, if the earlier you start it and the more consistent you're aware, the better results you get.
Right.
But like he was telling me, it's never too late to start.
Right. But, yeah, so that's what's cool about that is that
how much time of a day is running a mile?
Well, we only got a couple seconds left, so we got to call it quits,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So that concludes today's show. So until next time, here's to your health.
Here's your health.